that's one of the most common IBS triggers for people. You know, they don't seem like they're related, but they 100% are.
Is it true that what we're doing is we're trying to help to get our body accustomed to these foods? Help, I binge eat on the very foods that give me issues with my gut. Hello, hello, and welcome back to No Wellness Wankery. Today is an awesome conversation with dietitian Chloe McLeod. She is an advanced sports dietitian who I've had on the podcast before. If you haven't listened to that episode, please go and check it out. We're talking about how to fuel for your exercise, how to make sure you're eating enough. And today's chat is about IBS. Perhaps you're going, oh, I think I might have IBS. I don't know what to do. Please help me. Let's sort this out. Chloe is the person to speak to about this. She's not only the sports dietitian, but she's also very much a specialist in gut health and food intolerances as well. She's kind of my go-to person for it. That's why I feel so lucky to have her on the show today. She's also the founder of Verd Nutrition Co., where she and her team of nutrition experts can provide you with consults via telehealth, which I think is like a brilliantly convenient way to get her support. So I will leave a link in the show notes so you can get in touch with her and her team and also follow her on Instagram. She's Chloe_McLeod_dietitian. So go and check her out. All right, let's welcome Chloe. Chloe McLeod, thank you for coming back on the podcast.
My pleasure, Lindy. Thanks for having me again.
Oh, my pleasure. Well, as a gut health specialist, I really look to you and go, Chloe has the answers that we need. Now, if you are someone you're going, okay, I think I might have IBS. I've got some like really uncomfortable gut stuff happening. I need help. What are some of the things you might be experiencing if you're going, okay, I think I've got IBS? What might that feel like for someone?
Yeah, so this is the number one reason that people come into my clinic to see me or some of the other dietitians in my team. So IBS is characterized by uncomfortable gut symptoms. So pain, cramping, bloating, diarrhea, constipation, feeling like when you do go to the bathroom, like your motion is incomplete. So all things, you know, really great dinner table conversation for people. but it's a really common thing. So IBS specifically impacts around 20% or just under the Australian population. So it's a quite common thing that people are experiencing.
One of the things we were talking about before is this idea of people coming to your clinic thinking they have IBS and wanting a restrictive plan because they've seen on Instagram probably that this is what they need to do. And so They come into your clinic, they say, I think I've got IBS. What do you then do?
Yeah. So, as I sort of said, this is the number one thing that people come into my clinic for. And often it's because they're not eating enough that they're getting these symptoms. Now, if you're somebody who is wondering if you have IBS before going down the whole restrictive food route, it's worth checking in a couple of other things. So some of those could include, are you still getting your period regularly or your menstrual cycle? Is that happening on a regular basis still? Or have there been any changes to it? Has it gotten significantly lighter than it would have been in the past? With your exercise that you're doing, are you noticing that you're improving? And, you know, are the weights that you're lifting getting heavier? If you're running, are you able to run faster or further? Are you seeing those improvements in your performance that you would be expecting to see? On a sort of a really sort of more extreme level, have you maybe experienced any stress fractures at all? Because that can be a really clear sign that maybe you've actually been under fueling for your physical activity, particularly if you're doing more of that weight bearing exercise. And there's a number of other symptoms as well, but I'd say those are the ones that sort of pop up most commonly for people. And also if you're getting these symptoms in particularly around when you're exercising more so than at other times, that can sometimes be a sign that maybe when you're exercising, you are not eating enough as well. And that's particularly if you're doing sort of more endurance type physical activity.
And do you think also some other side effects could be getting sick pretty often or feeling quite tired all the time?
Yeah, so we can go into some of the other ones. So noticing that you get sick more regularly and it takes you a longer time to recover. Maybe you're getting injured more regularly. So like sort of little niggling injuries that just don't seem to go away. Or maybe getting injured more frequently as well. Noticing that you're finding it difficult to focus, concentrate, getting a really foggy head a lot of the time. Again, that can be a symptom of not having eaten enough as well. With the other one, would be around like your mood. So are you finding that you're quite moody and irritable and you know, maybe not such a pleasure to be around as what you might have usually been. So there's a lot of sort of red flags, but I want to be really clear that those things can also be signs for other things. So it is really important that you see a GP, that you see a dietitian to get some help to figure out what's going on, because you don't want to miss something if, you know, if there is something more sinister going on. But if it is that maybe you're inadvertently not eating enough or not eating enough of the right things at the right times, that is the number one problem that I would see across the board at my clinic at the moment.
And why does under-eating cause gut issues in some people?
It can cause it for a number of different reasons, but a big part of it is there's, because of that low energy availability and the stress that the physical activity is putting on the body, for a lot of people that can then cause those gut symptoms because there's not enough energy available and your body isn't functioning as it should. It puts extra stress on it and it starts to exhibit a lot of these symptoms. So the bloating, that pain, they'd be probably the two most sort of common ones. And then people will often go either more diarrhea or more constipation, or sometimes it's a bit of a mix. It does depend a little bit on the individual.
And I find this so interesting because so often I've seen with people who have disordered eating, a history of an eating disorder, is this desire to try and undereat, to try and overexercise. And or perhaps you're someone going, oh, I feel like I just struggle to lose weight. And I think what is the most underrated aspect of wellness is the impact that stress has on the body, how feeling stressed about your body can put this load and stress on you, how overexercising, as Chloe is saying, can very much impact your metabolism, your gut, your symptoms, and in a way, it contributes to more stress.
Yeah. And I mean, stress itself, that can contribute to these gut symptoms as well. So there's our gut-brain axis, which is, you know, really discussed in the literature, and the messaging that goes between your gut and your brain and your brain and your gut, it's a bidirectional relationship. So when you're feeling more stressed, you're more likely to experience the gut symptoms that we've been speaking about. And also when your gut's not happy, you're more likely to end up feeling stressed because of that relationship going back and forth. And so if we think about that, like, yes, exercise is incredible for your body. It's incredible for helping with reducing stress because of the mental impact. But if you're doing really hard exercise or over-exercising, that can then contribute to physical stress. Maybe the mental stress in your mind is maybe better because, you know, you like totally cooked yourself. But maybe the physical stress on your body is then what's contributing to some of these gut symptoms that you're experiencing. And fortunately, it's actually a relatively easy fix. Is, you know, as someone said to me earlier this week, so you're telling me I just get to eat more? I'm like, yeah, I am telling you that. Like, I don't even understand.
That sounds like a really good fix, but it can also be really challenging. So I think two things that come to mind that make it tricky is, one is a lack of appetite that can happen when you are going through a stressful period. Particularly some people say they don't like to eat before they exercise. And then genuinely people who fear weight gain going, I don't want to increase what I'm eating because the reason I'm exercising is to lose weight and I've got all these unpleasant gut symptoms. It's really tricky sometimes to just eat a little bit more.
Yeah. And I apologize. I didn't articulate that well. I meant simple, not easy. So something that's simple doesn't mean easy. So yes, very good. Now, I think a couple of things there is start small. So if you're not somebody who likes to eat before you exercise, and, you know, you might have heard on that other episode me talking about having a banana before you eat or something like that, that might sound a bit overwhelming. Well, let's not have a whole banana. Let's have a half banana to start with. Let's just start with something. Start, like, something is better than nothing. And, you know, if it's something that I haven't mentioned, but you're like, oh, I think I could maybe have something like that. Maybe it's, you know, a pear or an apple or something like that. Do that. It doesn't have to be one of the things I suggested there. You know, we've all got our grocery things that we like to eat or that we like to recommend. So having something, getting started with it and being really conscious. It's not about, you know, it's not about being perfect at all. Like, I actually think perfection is like the furthest goal that any of us should be trying to attain. It's all about that process and that journey and making small changes at a time. And then over time, you suddenly go, oh my gosh, I can't believe how much better I feel when I'm fueling my exercise better. Can't believe how much better results I'm getting when I'm fueling my exercise better. And I can't believe how much my gut symptoms have disappeared now that I'm fueling my exercise and my whole day more effectively. I always find it so fascinating how there's so many different parts of our body that seem to be completely unrelated that actually are, particularly when we're looking at this area, because, you know, often I'll speak to people and they're like, I don't understand how I'm getting gut issues because I haven't eaten enough. And it's, you know, they don't seem like they're related, but they 100% are. And yes, some people do have true IBS, but there's no point trying to go down the path of FODMAP restriction or any sort of other investigation at all until we know that you're fueling enough on a day-to-day basis because of that clear impact. And I think a good example of that is it's so common to see people who have eating disorders or who have a history of eating disorders experiencing IBS type symptoms. And it's because of how the microbiome changes. But it's not necessarily the point of going down FODMAPs. It's let's get some extra fuel in so the body can function better and be better optimized. And in most cases, it ends up sorting itself out.
It's such an interesting one because what we know from the research is that getting diverse range of foods in our diet is really important for gut microbiome. And then you look at a diet for someone with IBS or IBD, and it can appear to be a really restrictive diet, and in many ways it is. And so sometimes I hear people say, but there are only certain foods that I can eat to manage my symptoms, which means I can't really get that diversity in to improve my gut microbiome. It's a bit of a challenge. Yeah. Can you talk to us about this?
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought that up. And I think I love the FODMAP space. I find it so interesting. But it's so important to bring the FODMAPs back in. And it's not about you go on a low FODMAP diet and you're on it forever. No one should be on it forever. No one should be avoiding all of their triggers forever. It's about working out what they are, modifying your diet for a portion of time so that you can figure out what your specific triggers are, but over time, slowly adding them back in. I always like to use onion as an example here because that's one of the most common IBS triggers for people. And if it's a trigger for you, if you start to include really small amounts, so I'm talking like a quarter of a teaspoon, like tiny little bits in your food regularly over time, your gut microbiome, it will change and you will find that you can tolerate onion after, you know, it's not going to happen in a month or 2 months, but 6 months, a year of that really regular, really small amounts of inclusion, you'll find that you actually start to tolerate it more efficiently and more effectively without developing those symptoms. Mm. So I find it so frustrating when I see people who are like, oh, I've been on this low FODMAP diet for 10 years. I'm like, oh my God.
Terrifying.
Please, no.
Please don't.
Please don't. So the low FODMAP diet is a diagnostic tool. I cannot emphasize this enough. It's a diagnostic tool to help people to determine what their triggers are, but it's not these are my triggers, I never eat them again. It's these are my triggers, how can I bring them back into my diet? Because to keep with the onion example, it's such an important prebiotic. So the fiber in it, yes, it can contribute to some of your symptoms, but it also is so important for short-chain fatty acid production, which I'm not someone who loves the term superfoods, but I'm like, the real superheroes when it comes to our gut health are our short-chain fatty acids. So we need to be eating this prebiotic fiber so that we can develop those in our gut.
Can you explain the short-chain fatty acids to everyone who might not understand what that means?
Yeah, sure. So when we eat different types of fiber, particularly our prebiotic fiber, it actually ferments in your gut. And that's sometimes why you might experience some of that bloating. Obviously, you don't want that to be the point that it's uncomfortable, but we need to be eating these because of this development of these compounds. So short-chain fatty acids, so that some of the different types are butyrate, acetate, and propionate. And they are really, really anti-inflammatory compounds that are developed as a result of the gut bacteria fermenting these prebiotic fibers. They're so powerful that they can actually reduce your risk of bowel cancer. So you might have the starts of little polyps in your bowel. They can actually go and scavenge is maybe the right word. And they actually can stop that growth of that polyp and stop the bowel cancer from happening when you have enough of those short-chain fatty acids. And they've also been shown to help with reducing risk of diabetes of heart disease, inflammatory bowel disease, you know, they are so incredibly important and so incredibly powerful.
So what you're talking about is by increasing the amount of prebiotic fiber we can get in our diet, we can get all of these benefits as well. And so to get more prebiotic fiber in our diet, sometimes it can feel like that is also at odds with our IBS kind of symptoms.
Yeah.
And what you're saying is, you know, prebiotic being something like onion, we're building up that tolerance because if we're doing it without that support, we might be going, okay, no, I have to pull back on all these foods, even though it sometimes feels like the solution is the problem, but we're building up that tolerance. As you so rightly said, doing that with a specialized nutrition professional, a dietitian like Chloe, and I will leave a link so you can go and do an online consultation with Chloe and her team who specialize in this area, who can help you do this safely, who can help you make sure you're not slipping into old restrictive habits, because these do kind of sometimes feel at odds. You're rebuilding that tolerance, helping to repopulate your gut microbiome so that you can be more resilient. And I think that is a really exciting forecast. Want to stop binge and emotional eating for good? Understand the cause of these habits, learn how to deal with afternoon or evening binges, and get the number one tool you need to break up with binging for good with my free 5-day course. This means no more hiding food wrappers, eating in secret, or feeling guilt and shame around your eating behaviors. Instead, you'll learn how to regain control over food, make peace with your body, and stop being consumed by thoughts of food all the time. Sign up to my free course in the show notes and experience the life-changing transformation for yourself.
Yeah, and I think like just even hearing you speak just then, I'm like, how freeing is that, being like, okay, I don't actually have to restrict these foods or be worried about eating these foods forever, because it can be scary when you go, oh my gosh, I've worked out that onion, getting a battering today, I've worked out onion's an issue. And that can be really scary for a lot of reasons. It can cause a lot of anxiety around food because it's in so many things, particularly when you're eating out, eating in social occasions. So, you know, it can be make it really tricky. And that's why it's so important to get that help, but so important to have that slow reintroduction so that over time you can bring it back into your diet.
I'm loving how this conversation's going. Something that I often see is where people go, hey, so I tried these diets where I had to cut out all these foods. I couldn't eat gluten. I couldn't eat dairy. I couldn't, and then, you know, rattle off a whole list of carbohydrates they feared. And then they go, well, then I reintroduced it and it didn't make me feel good. And so it's kind of this idea of your tolerance level for these foods that you've been avoiding for such a long time. Is it true that what we're doing is we're trying to help to get our body accustomed to these foods? And why, you know, in disordered eating, we're creating these really small lists of safe foods, things we're allowed to eat. We're limiting the diversity in our gut. We're making ourselves more sensitive to these foods. In fact, sometimes creating a problem where there was no problem to begin with.
Yeah. From where I sit, it makes me feel so sad when I see those really small lists. And I know how scary it can be to start to bring foods back in because of how it may have made you feel in the past or how worried you are about how it might have made you feel. And sometimes bringing things out can inadvertently end up causing a problem, as you said. So, you know, regardless of where you are, getting that expert help to start to bring things back into your diet so that you can improve the diversity of the plants that you're eating. The research is really clear that for people who eat at least 30 different plants across the week, they have better gut health. They have better health outcomes as a result of that. I know 30 sounds huge, but if you sit down and start to count it up, it may not be as small as you actually, like you may be having a lot more than you actually think, because it's not just fruits and veggies. It's your whole grains, legumes, nuts, seeds, herbs, spices. So it should be pretty easy to get that 30 in, particularly, you know, if you're following your beautiful recipes, Lindy, you know, you've got so many amazing ones there that have that diversity. What I will say though is if you are feeling worried about it, start small. And, you know, it doesn't have to be that whole meal is like, oh my gosh, I'm going and having like all the onion or any of the other foods that might be causing it or may cause a problem for you. Start really small, build it up over time. Part of it is helping your microbiome get used to it. The other part is helping your brain get used to the idea of eating those foods again. So starting small is heaps less scary. Think about anything in life. If it's feeling a little bit overwhelming or a little bit scary, you're not going to go and do the whole thing at once. You just take like little step, little step, little step. And over time, suddenly you're like, oh my gosh, I got there. Amazing.
Spot on. And that takes us back to that conversation we had about that mental stress or that physical stress as well. So if you're feeling anxious about eating a food, you know, that can also create
probably going to have a problem.
Yeah, exactly. Self-fulfilling nature of it all. I just want to end this chat and just to bring it to this intersection we have of binge eating and IBS and intolerances, because I think it's, you know, with my expertise and your expertise, something I often get asked about is, okay, help, I binge eat on the very foods that give me issues with my gut. I'm intolerant to these foods, but for some reason I can't help but binge eat on them. And so I'm keen to hear your perspective on this. What I often find is the very foods that we eliminate from our diet, particularly carbohydrate foods. I find this, most people are going, well, I'm not binging on carrots. I'm binge eating on lots of bread or cereal or whatever it is. And so often what we do by reintroducing these foods, by giving permission around them, you actually eat them in far smaller quantities than by eliminating them. And of course, you still might have those negative symptoms as a result of having those foods, but already by normalizing them, we're reducing the level of that symptom. And with time, you can get to a point where you can start to eat those foods in a bit more of a healthy state. Chloe, what are your thoughts on this? Do you approach it similarly?
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. The exact same way. I think by giving yourself permission to have it, it causes you to not feel that requirement to overdo it, because it's like, it's not a, oh, this is a naughty thing or this is a treat. It's, oh, this is just part of what I do and it's not a problem. Also, if we come back to what we were saying before, if you are feeling a bit worried about what might happen if you have it, no matter how much you have, well, then let's start small. You know, if it's bread, let's start with your favorite, you know, beautiful, great quality one that, you know, you really love. Have a slice with, you know, some butter or whatever it is that you like putting on it. I think, I can't remember where I heard you talking about this years ago now, but it was something about peanut butter on toast. And if it's like, you know, you feel like you can't have the peanut butter on toast in the house, go to the cafe and have it, because then you're giving yourself permission to have it, but not then having the ability to go and have, you know, the whole loaf, because you don't have the whole loaf because you just had your slice at the cafe. Mm-hmm. So
you can feel really safe to do that.
Yeah.
And also to have other people watching you. Even if you don't know those people in the restaurant, binge eating is so something that we do in secret where we feel so judged, we hide our empty wrappers, and simply making it something that you do in front of other people can be quite liberating and help reinforce the idea that that food is not off limits.
Yeah, I've that peanut butter on toast in the cafe, that is, I cannot remember where I heard you talking about it, but it stuck with me and it's something that I have said to so many clients over the years. And it's, as you say, it is so liberating. It's awesome.
I'm so glad. Because there is this real intersection between gut symptoms and binge eating and all of this. If you do feel like you're out of control with food, I will just say I've got a free webinar, free training that I will leave a link for you to do in the show notes as well. If you feel like that's something that you need help with, you can do that. And I'm going to give you tips in there that I haven't shared elsewhere. Chloe McLeod, you are my go-to person for these things. I feel very, very grateful that you've had this chat with us. I feel like lots of people are going to benefit from having this conversation. Once again, I will leave the notes for how people can find Chloe in the description. So you can go and follow her on Instagram. You can go and speak to her and her team of dietitians to get support, because please don't struggle by yourself. There is help out there who can help you do it without falling into restrictive traps and to help you feel good in your body. Something you so deserve. Thank you, Chloe. I hope you loved today's conversation. I sure did. I learned a lot. I love Chloe. She's fabulous. If you want to go check out Chloe_McLeod_dietitian on Instagram and follow her. She's got lots of great tips. And also, if you are someone who is looking for a little bit more support to be healthy and you want emails that don't suck, I will also leave a link down below so you can get on my newsletter. I send emails that you actually want to open that have got a lot of value and things I don't share on Instagram. So go and check that out, and I'll see you next time. Hey, I've got a question for you. Does binge eating feel like your dirty secret? And are you sick of trying to be good, but falling off the bandwagon and losing control around food? If so, I can help. Binge Free Academy teaches you how to beat binge eating and feel in control around food, giving you doable, evidence-based strategies. You'll get lifetime access to 30 practical step-by-step video lessons, 12 group coaching calls with me, and become part of my Binge Free Academy community for life. As a recovered binge eater, I get it. I know there's no quick fix or one-stop shop for binge eating. And so that's why I want to give you the ongoing support and care you need and deserve. And I'm so confident it will help you that I'm offering you a 30-day money-back guarantee. So no risk, all reward. You can take control over your food and your life. And I think it's the best investment you'll ever make towards reclaiming your life, your health, and your happiness. To learn more about Binge Free Academy, you can click the link in the show notes or go to lindycohen.com/binge-free-academy.